I am excited to share some good news today. Good news. Yes. Some of us here are grieving. Some of us here are facing confusion and doubts. Some of us here have been hurt by the church and by church leaders. And if you're wondering, this is not the good part, the good news. Here it is. We need a breath of fresh air, and the Holy Spirit is here, present, and in us, to comfort us now, to advocate for us, to bring to mind Jesus and everything he's taught us. This is who the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out at Pentecost for everyone, just as Jesus promised. But I'm getting ahead of myself. If we are able, I invite us to raise our hand if someone has ever made a promise to us and not kept it. Right, most of us raised our hands. Now I invite us to raise our hand if we have ever made a promise and not followed through. I see even more hands, of course. So it's difficult to capture the magnitude of this passage that Jesus is promising to give the disciples the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2 that we just heard read, that is the dramatic fulfillment of this promise. This is not a sermon about Jesus keeping his promises, though that is like the railroad track that we are running on today. Our old habit was to put walls up because people have hurt us. People have broken their promises. People have hurt us so badly that it's hard to imagine that Jesus is any different. Except Jesus is God. It's not hard work for Jesus to keep his promises. This is who Jesus is. So when Jesus says he's on his way to die, he means it. And when Jesus says he won't leave them as orphans, that he's sending someone to comfort them and advocate for them and be with them eternally, he means it. If you were having a bad day, and I had inside this baking dish your favorite dessert, made personally for you, and if I gave it to you as a gift today, would you be comforted by it? Or would you say, oh, someone else really needs this more? Or would you say, no, I'm going to wait till I'm having an even worse day when I really need it? The Holy Spirit is not limited. There's enough Holy Spirit for all of us. It was poured out for everyone. Think about what else we take comfort in besides the Holy Spirit. The irony of it is that because life is unpredictable, we turn to our addictions to comfort us, which by definition are temporary. Yet the whole world has been given a person whose comfort is eternal. Do you get the disconnect? The Holy Spirit has been poured out to comfort us. We've already received the Spirit, and yet I walk over to the cabinet and rummage around to find some chocolate. Chocolate's temporary. Chocolate's amazing, but chocolate is temporary. This is not a sermon about how to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, though I'm sensing a need to give at least two pointers here. Learning how to be comforted by the Holy Spirit is like the antenna of the train that speaks to the command center. So here's two non-negotiable points, and then if you have questions, let's talk further. I'm curious to hear your ideas as well. The first characteristic, and I'm going to go through these quickly, of people who are comforted by the Spirit is they are regularly in Scripture. This is how we learn the tone of the Spirit's voice. This is how we learn the language of the Spirit. Second, people comforted by the Spirit are regularly involved in the life of the church, and particularly a church that cares well for one another. This is where we encourage one another toward Jesus. Lifting up our antenna together as a church strengthens our neural pathways and our body of Christ together. So let's get to the heart of the good news for today. There is enough Holy Spirit comfort available for everyone. What do I mean? As Mennonites, we do a good job of sharing with each other. The other day, three of us here shared a tea bag. Three people, one tea bag. We felt very Mennonite. There was another time where five of us in our family were around a table and there was one piece of pie left and nobody would eat it because we didn't want to be a hog. And so Ron Piper, mathematician that he is, somehow divided it into five equally-ish pieces. I love that we teach our children to share as Mennonites. That's valuable. I love that we are frugal so that we can be generous. My point is there is so much of the Holy Spirit that we don't need to share. We don't need to be skimpy or save up. And I'm going to try to show you in two ways that there is enough Holy Spirit for everyone. Point number one. Irvin. Some of us are grieving today because our friend Irvin Stutzman was put on hospice this week and died. He and his wife, Bonnie, by God's grace, transformed this church. A week ago, on Tuesday, not this past Tuesday, but the one before, when I began working on this sermon, I didn't know of Irvin's health decline. I sensed the Spirit guiding me to preach a Pentecost sermon from John 14, which is not your standard passage. Typically, it's Acts 2 that we heard read. I worked on my sermon. I came up with a draft of it, and then I set it aside for a couple of days while our family did all the things of celebrating our daughter's graduation from high school. I came back to John 14 after learning that Irvin was in his last days of life here on this earth. Like Jesus, Irvin was headed towards his death. Since 2019, he has been my mentor. I wondered if I could continue this work without him. This person, like the disciples, had taught me about God and about life. I returned to the passage as if for the first time and read these words. God will give you another advocate who will be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus has promised each of us comfort from the Holy Spirit. Reason number two, why there is enough Holy Spirit for everyone. I love this part as well. Grace. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask God, who will give you the Holy Spirit forever." Now, this is another raise your hand moment, and this is too simple of a question, but work with me. Think to yourself first, how many of the disciples obeyed Jesus perfectly? If you are able, raise your hand with me if you think none of the disciples obeyed perfectly. Good. But that doesn't make any sense. Why was the Holy Spirit poured out when Jesus said he would give them the Spirit at their obedience, and all people everywhere have disobeyed? Jesus says, if you love me and obey me, we're going to send the Spirit, but then nobody perfectly obeys, and we dare not be too harsh with them about it because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've done so too. And yet we know from Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on men, on women, on children, and people of every known nation. So obeying Jesus perfectly hasn't been done, and yet 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Why? Because Jesus is far less legalistic and far more gracious than we have dared to dream. Anyone who loves me and obeys me, God will love them and take up residence in them for all nations. Several years ago, Zion was coming out of the pandemic, the world was coming out of the pandemic, and leaders here were attentive to not overdoing our capacity. Not overdoing our giving capacity, not overdoing our outreach and service opportunities capacity, not overdoing our leadership, our lay leadership capacity. And someone here during that time was having a time of prayer, and a vision came to them. Their vision was that Zion was like a train that almost could not be stopped. In a good way. We were clicking along in ministry. These last several months, we've had multiple giving opportunities at the same time. We've had many service opportunities, and we've had regular opportunities for people to lead, including some new ones. And so I asked Irvin, my mentor, how do we know if our capacity is stretched too thin? I described congregational life, including the people we are seeking to walk alongside through life's challenges and losses. I named that through the thick of the giving and service opportunities that congregational giving had increased. I named that people were saying yes to leadership opportunities. Thank you. Each person here impacts the whole body. Each person here makes a difference on the rest of the body. And I asked Irvin if there were other indicators we needed to pay attention to. He said no. I told him about the vision of Zion being like a train. With tears in his eyes, Irvin said, "It's time to sound the all aboard. There are many people, many more people who want to be a part of what God is doing at Zion." I have hope today that the Holy Spirit is moving us toward a promised future of hope and joy, of comfort from the Holy Spirit. I have hope that there is enough Holy Spirit available for everyone around the world. I invite us to hop aboard this train of following Jesus together, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that all might experience hope. All aboard. Amen.